Have you ever experienced a time in your life that made you feel so ashamed that you found yourself actively avoiding people or situations to hide it? I understand because I lived that way for many years. For decades, I bore the heavy burden of abandonment, defining my self-worth around the narrative of a wounded child. Over time, I reframed my story from one of shame to one of tenacity and courage. At Storyteller, we believe that every woman's story is a journey of resilience, a wellspring of insightful wisdom, and an endless source of inspiration. Each episode features remarkable women from all walks of life, each with their own unique and powerful narrative. We'll explore their triumphs, their challenges, and the invaluable lessons they've learned along the way. Whether you're looking for a dose of motivation, a heartfelt connection, or simply a moment of reflection, Storyteller is here to be your companion on this extraordinary journey. So grab your favorite beverage, cozy up on our virtual couch, and let's embark with a deep connecting conversation with your new best friend. I'm your host, Deborah Keevan, and this is the Storyteller Podcast. Today, our guest on Storyteller is Diana Fritz, a seasoned executive leader, cancer thriver, and advocate for authenticity and resilience. With more than 25 years of experience in leadership, operations, HR, and technology, she's known for cultivating strong teams and leading with purpose. A Maxwell Leadership Executive Program member, certified DISC consultant, and corporate facilitator, Diana empowers others through values-based leadership. Passionate about making an impact and fostering connection, she's also a devoted mother, wife, volunteer who believes everyone deserves to be seen and valued. I'm so happy to have you. Welcome to Storyteller, Diana.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
As we're recording this, we've just had an Independence Day celebration, and this will be released right around Labor Day. You've spent a lot of your career supporting others. So, but I'm curious to begin our conversation is to understand a story that kept you stuck, a story that you either told yourself or a belief you inherited that sort of kept you stuck for however long. And then how did you reframe it and what was that impact?
So I was reflecting on my just different things over my career. I've had a lot of drive time, as I shared earlier, that I was picking up my kids from camp. So it was 8 hours each way.
Oh my goodness.
You get lots of reflection time. One thing that stands out to me is there is a point in my time that in my career, that I'd never wanted to talk in front of people. And my boss at the time, we would do monthly company meetings in front of like 50, 100, 250 as we grew. And I would always prep his deck. And then I would stand in the back of the room and I would answer questions for him, but I would never be the one at the front of the room. And then he started to challenge me to be the one presenting. And so the first ones were a little rocky. But then as I was progressing on my Maxwell journey, I reminded myself and learned, right, it's not about me, it's about the audience and who I have the opportunity to connect with and to help. And so that has been very impactful to me because now I thoroughly enjoy the opportunity to speak and share because it's not about me, it's about who I get to connect with. But there was a season, right, where I did not want to be in the front of the room.
So. Yeah, I called that period of time in my career as being the stealth bomber, where I flew beneath the radar. I did really important, impactful work, but I didn't want to be seen and I didn't want to be noticed. And it that was a safe place for me. So I love that you brought that up. That, and even in what we're our own work today, this is not about us at all. It's about how we connect and who we serve and how we can help others transform themselves. I love that reflection. So you mentioned your Maxwell work. Talk a little bit about that for those who may not be familiar with it.
Yes, I was a fan of John Maxwell and his books and writings from years ago. And I think that the statement to that is I used his VHS packets that you could use. So some people listening may not even know what that is, or have never had a VHS player. So that dates us, right? That goes back, that goes back years. But I have always been, since I started my career, a fan of always developing myself, but also giving opportunities for the people that report to me to develop and to grow. And so that's where I ended up grabbing Maxwell VHS series, whether it was the 360 Leader or the Qualities of a Team Player. I can think of multiple I had in my arsenal. And then as I was progressing in my career and our company was acquired by a corporate global company, I stayed there for a few years, but I ended up shifting away. And in that season of like sabbatical, which was really short because it's hard for me to be still, I determined, okay, you know, I've been following John Maxwell and his work for years. I'm going to join the Maxwell certified team. And so in that, I did that summer of my quote sabbatical and joined that team. And so that's given me multiple opportunities to connect with other Maxwell coaches, but also access to a lot more material and opportunities for me to use his material to grow personally, but also to help my teams and to also enable that within coaching and workshops. And the version of DISC that I use as well is the Maxwell DISC program. So the DISC certification incorporates like the Maxwell principles and around leadership and communication.
I love that. So can you give us a couple of examples of what those values are?
Yeah. So I mentioned, you know, one element as I was talking about my shift from not being willing to speak in front of a room. And that was, I think, one of the first statements John Maxwell made in my first International Maxwell Leadership Conference. He had a small session with those that were there for the first time. And one of his first points was to remember it's not about you. And that applies to speaking, that applies to leading, that applies to building teams. It's not about you. And another element that always stands out in terms of the principles around the Maxwell leadership and the team values is adding value to people and valuing all people. And that's an impactful thing for me. It's easy to go, yeah, I believe that, right? But it's another thing to actually to do it and to hold yourself accountable to that. And in it, to bridge that to DISC, communication and connecting with others is such an important part of the Maxwell leadership values. And DISC helps to bring that even farther, where DISC is a communication and a personality. It's an assessment. You can Google it. You're going to see multiple versions out there and then multiple flavors of some use like dogs and some use birds and that type of thing for the different personalities.
Sure.
What I appreciate about the Maxwell version of looking at the four different personality styles is you do the assessment. It gives you a great report that highlights in some things around communication and connecting with others. And again, that theme of it's not about you. There's so many times where we expect everybody to communicate just like we do. The odds are slim, right, that they're going to be wired just like we are. So again, that shift, it's not about me. And so then how do I learn to better connect with others? And because we can communicate and say a lot of things, but if there's not a connection on the other side, we have missed our opportunity to connect. And that's really where I appreciate the DISC element. It's helped me. A D is like more of that dominant personality style. I is more interactive. So like we're doing now, storytelling, engagement.
Yeah.
The S is more steady, right? That one that wants everybody to get along well, works on the team, very diligent, very dedicated. And then the C, which is more facts-oriented about the plan, the project, more introverted, but very facts and detail-oriented. All are needed for a fabulous team. But we often there's tension, right, when we don't understand the balance and what everybody brings to the table. And that's been an important element of my career, particularly as an executive, understanding that as an S, I am going to receive things differently and communicate things differently than a D and an I and a C. And it's helped me tremendously to grow and connect better with others.
That's such an important point because there's two parts to communication. There's the speaking part or the delivery part, I should say, because sometimes it's nonverbal. And there's the receiving part and the listening. And I've heard it termed that sometimes it's like you're speaking a different language. If somebody is looking to receive facts and figures and specifics, and the person who's delivering isn't wired that way, it takes some effort to really get that super secret decoder ring and translate it into the language of the receiver. So, which brings me to a question. What advice do you have for people who have teams or are part of a team? And there seems to be communication disruption. They get their DISC evaluation, the Maxwell version. And like, what? How do you teach someone who's a D to communicate clearly with someone who's a C and vice versa? Mm-hmm. Or in any of those combinations, I guess.
Often I find it helpful, like within a team workshop where they've all done the assessment ahead of time and they come in, usually they haven't read it, but that's okay. And I'll guide them through different activities, use different fun videos to help them see the styles, and then give them time to like read a few excerpts from theirs and go, oh yeah, that is me. And then share like in small groups, like I don't trying to make it really comfortable, right? Share with partners and then keep going through in stages within the workshop to help them see the strengths of each profile, but then what the blind spots are. Mm-hmm. And then that's really where they can talk and go, oh, yeah, I do do that. Or, yeah, you do do that, right? And it's just an open conversation. I work as well to, like, it's the intention is not to put anybody in a box. It's not to make anybody feel that we're all needed, right? Yeah. There's a great part of the Maxwell DISC split in presentation, which I love to use, is around George Washington and the boat, like going across Mustang, and talking about how every personality style was needed in the boat that day, right? For us to get that victory. And starting with those scenarios of how everybody's needed and everybody has a role to play. So that way, when you get into the strengths and then the blind spots, remember you're still needed, right? This is the high value you bring, but this is the opportunity you have to better connect with others.
Yeah. Oh, I love that analogy. And just a fun fact, where I grew up is where right near where George Washington crossed the Delaware. They do a reenactment every Christmas Eve. I've never seen it because my family celebrates.
Oh, okay. Every Christmas.
Yeah. It's and there's a park, a beautiful park right on the Delaware River called Washington's Crossing. So yeah, beautiful. There's so many wonderful examples that you gave in that description about, I love the small groups and the interactions, because what you're doing is creating a safe space for people to openly share without judgment and to see the value that they bring. And I wonder, like when someone, I think about back to when I worked at Kodak. I worked at Eastman Kodak up in Rochester, New York, and we were on a self-directed team. There were 14 of us, and there was no leadership. We all had a stake in the organization, and it was very kumbaya. We sat on, our meetings were held on sofas with, if you had the koosh, the little ball that was squishy, you could speak. And we were really in that storming phase of building the team that was effective. And we each took the Myers-Briggs. Mm-hmm. And then we created a grid with tape on the floor. And we stood in our sections. And then the facilitator actually would ask questions. And then you would move based upon, and it was just, it helped so much to have that visualization. So I'm envisioning those aha moments in the experiences that you lead to help others really identify what they need. So thank you for that example and that really vivid, because anyone in America pretty much can visualize that painting, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey there. If today's conversation stirred something in you, maybe a quiet, I think I have a story too, followed immediately by, but why would anyone care? Or it's all been said before. Or maybe you did write a book, launched it with hope, and post-marketing sales fell flat. And now you're wondering, was it me? was my book terrible? First of all, you're not alone. And second, that voice in your head, the one sowing doubt, it's not the truth. At Highlander Press, we work with authors at every stage. Whether your story's still inside you or already out in the world, but not landing the way you'd hoped. We don't do formulas. We do clarity, community, and purpose. Because your story does matter. It just needs the right home. So, what's your story? Come find out with us at HighlanderPressBooks.com. So what are some of the challenges that you find most people leading teams experience, or what comes up the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I was thinking about that question, I'm looking at myself right on the Zoom piece. And I have this very visual blind spot because I don't have one eye. And I think that actually is an element of our blind spots is often what comes up frequently in regards to leading teams or having teams go well, is we are often operating in a mode of thinking we're okay, right? And missing out on what our gaps are, which is how a team can function the best together when we understand our strengths and we understand our gaps. Because when we can balance each other out, right, we build a great team. When we're not willing to acknowledge like our blind spots, then we miss out on our opportunity to function really well as a team. And I think as a leader, the opportunity is the most, right, to set the example and to acknowledge where you do have gaps and blind spots, because your team likely knows that they exist anyway. And so you acknowledging them makes you human and authentic. And then it helps everybody to want to work together and truly be a part of a team environment versus feeling like they're dictated to, right? They can complement and work together and really work as a team. And so the blind spot piece, I acknowledge it up front in any session I'm in, but I think it's a relevant thing to think about just in terms of your communication and your leadership and your being a part of the team. Like, where are my blind spots and where do I need somebody to help hold me accountable and help make sure that I'm authentic and true in acknowledging those blind spots?
That is such a great highlight. And I what I'm thinking as you were describing that is, to the extent that a leader can really be honest about his or her strengths and challenges, right? We can call them blind spots, we can call whatever the word is, because we can focus our attention on improving the things that we're naturally gifted towards and find teammates to have the counterbalance for those things that we're not gifted for. It helps us all grow more effectively and feel more valued and feel excited to be participating because we're making a bigger impact.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's really a... So let's talk about, if you don't mind, you and I are both cancer thrivers.
Yeah.
So you're in this amazing career. You're doing this amazing leadership work. You're thriving in your life. You're a mom. You've got a family. And then screech,
yeah,
you get the call. How did living and thriving through a cancer diagnosis, if I'm remembering correctly, it was multiple, right, for you as well as for me. Take us through that experience from an emotional perspective.
So it goes back 11 years. So 2014, I was starting out my year that January. I like to reflect every year. And I was alone on New Year's Eve. And I was like actually happy about it. it was quiet. I was home. I was reflecting because I had recently gone through a divorce. And that was a difficult thing, but the right decision to keep my little boys like in a good space and good for me. As an executive, I had different things I wanted to do for the year. As a parent, different things. I wanted to get to go on like a missions trip and just had all these things, right, that I was going to work through that year. And about 30 days into the year, I had a biopsy done on the caruncle of my left eye, which is the little pink thing in the corner of your eye, never expecting anything to be an issue there. It was just bumpy, and we figured it'll be nothing. But when you get the call to come into the office afterwards, then you know that, okay, that's not a good sign. I still went on my own, though. I went to work that morning, and I told my boss, who's a dear friend, I was like, okay, I'm going to go on my own. He tried to go with me. I'm not, I've got this. Our independence, right?
Right. As a,
and so they snuck me in the back door and they sat down and talked to me. And I stayed pretty stoic. I'm usually pretty calm and walked through. Diana, you know, you've got a rare form of cancer. There's only a few hundred cases reported each year. So we can't help you here. We need to send you either 4 hours away to Miami, the number one eye hospital in the world, or to Pennsylvania, the number two. I picked the closer one in number one. And then when they gave me a hug, the doctor and the nurses, then it starts, the emotion starts to hit, right? Because yeah. then your sensitive element, and I'm texting my friend, my dearest friend, Christine, while I'm in the office. She wanted to go with me, but she was out of town. And so a lot of motion to leave there. I didn't go back to work that day. I went home to my condo, and yeah, nobody could really get in to see me because you're in a condo building. You can't get in without being buzzed. But somehow my friend's mom, Sandra, got in and she knocked on the door. And before she knocked on the door, I was in that moment of going, okay, why me? Why now, God? Like, this doesn't make any sense, right? I've got a lot to do, right? Juggling being a single mom, executive, all these things. And she came in the door and she just spent a few minutes with me, praying with me, hugging me, encouraging me, and reminding me that we can do this. And it's just a different opportunity, a different journey. And that was a really helpful moment for me because I had learned multiple lessons earlier in my life that tough things are going to happen. And no matter what happens to me, I still have the power and the freedom to choose how I respond. And so her knock on the door helped me to go, okay, this isn't the end of the world, right? We got this. And so it shifted to go, okay, I get to go to these hospitals, these doctors, meet all these people I never would have met. What kind of opportunities are there in getting to meet these people? And my first year within the cancer journey, there was a lot of surgeries and trips to Miami because the type of cancer I have doesn't respond to radiation or chemotherapy. There's nothing traditional about it. So surgery was the way to navigate. So I spent, my boy spent about a month away from me that first year because I had so many surgeries. So my parents came in to help me and they took him to Pennsylvania. And so I had time to heal and to process. But year one was a lot of surgeries and balancing things with my boys and also having my eye closed for 4 months while I was navigating things. So I got to practice for where I'm at today.
Right.
Yeah. And then I went about 5 years cancer free. And so I still had a lot of visits to Miami to check in and different vision oddities and things like that. But went about 5 years cancer free. And then in 2019, it came back again. In 2021, came back again. And then in 2021, as we were just watching closely and more closely, just seeing it spreading to the sinuses and tried different therapies like immunotherapy, which worked great in the lab, did not work great in my head. It just was looking like, okay, like this is not, we need, it's a little more serious. And so mentally, I was preparing for that, still balancing all the different things as an executive, as a mom. I had also gotten married in that segment. My husband Bromley was a friend and he had joined me on my cancer journey as a friend. So lots of things happened, lots of good things happened on that journey. But I'll never forget, like when I got the call from David, Dr. C, who was my eye professional at Bascom Palmer. Diana, we've been fighting for 9 years to save your eye and we have to shift to save your life. He had emotion. Of course, I had emotion. But then I paused. I was like, okay, but I can be thankful for 9 extra years with 2 eyes and to live with one. And so it took me down like a journey, right, that I never thought I would be on. But just the opportunities and to think through walking in the doors to Miami so many times, right? I met so many doctors and nurses and friends that otherwise I never would have met. And I've also had the opportunity to connect with patients. I don't think I've met one that's had the same type of cancer I have, but I always tell Dr. C, whenever you have somebody that needs to undergo a similar surgery, I love to help them because I didn't have anybody that
Right.
could see me and help me through it. So I'd love to help them because there's so many questions you have that nobody can answer. And so that's been a blessing too, just to get to be a friend and be an encourager to people along the way.
I thank you for sharing that story. It's a powerful story of resilience and hope. And our listeners, I'm sure, appreciate hearing how you managed that through 9 years of really fighting to save your eye, and then making that maybe not difficult decision, but that realization, like, okay, we've got to shift here. And I'm thankful that you're here and doing well and thriving, continuing to thrive. It's unlike any other experience that I ever had getting that, because mine was a call. I had a telephone call.
Oh.
And I just was like, it never even occurred to me. There was no history of breast cancer in our family. I had no symptoms other than I found a lump. And it's like, I have had lumps before and they were nothing. So, and much like you, since that time, I have had 9 of my friends in my friend circle be diagnosed with the same kind of cancer, which is, it's more common, sadly, today. But I love that you really take who you are in serving others in that way. And I hope that it's a very long time before you get that call, if ever. But thank you. Thank you so much. I had a once a year trip to Fort Lauderdale with a mentoring program that I was a part of. And I did that every day, got up, walked the beaches, and to see the sunrise, and the peacefulness of that is a true gift and a reminder that the sun's going to come up. We can do hard things, and how we choose to approach it makes all the difference in the world. And you're a living testimony to that. And I appreciate that wisdom. And I encourage all of you to check out Diana's links, which will be in the show note, her contact information. Before we wrap up, I just want to say thank you again so much for being here and for this really rich conversation. My last question is, if you have to recommend one book to every person that you meet and say, you've got to read this book, what book is that and why?
That's a great question. And I'm not going to state my book because that doesn't make any sense.
We'll put the links to your book in the chat.
I'm just kidding. I was like, that's funny. That's like a loaded question you throw out there. So can I give two?
Absolutely.
Okay. I would give one, just the Bible, which I get not everybody listening to this would be a person of faith, but the book of Proverbs within the Bible is just full of words of wisdom. And I'm working on that with my kids right now because it applies regardless if you're a person of faith or not. The book of Proverbs has tons of words of wisdom in it. And then a second book I would recommend is a John Maxwell book called Today Matters. And he wrote it probably 15, 20 years ago, and all the different areas of life, right? Today matters.
Being present matters. So before we wrap up, tell us a little bit about your book and why you wrote it and who it's for.
So the book is titled Uniquely Imperfect, Uniquely Qualified. If you look at me, you can obviously tell I'm very uniquely imperfect. You're probably not going to meet many people that have a look like I do. But because the power of being able to move past poor me to, okay, why me? Who do I get to help? Who can I help with this adversity has helped me to shift from being bitter to how can my adversity be used to help serve others? And so that's really, we all have an adversity that if we can move past it, we can help somebody else with. And so that's why I wrote the book. I would say the book is for everybody, because we've all dealt with some type of adversity. And each chapter closes with some reflection and application questions. So it's not just about reading my story. It's about using it to reflect. And how can you relate? And what can you learn and apply in your life and your story?
Well, congratulations on, first of all, writing and then publishing such an impactful book that can help so many people really take stock of who they are and where they are and what kind of cancer they have in their lives, physical or metaphorical, right? Or emotional. You're right. We all have something that we want to cut out of ourselves and remove, and looking at the gifts that it brings, it helps us grow in exponential ways. So thank you for that. We'll make sure and put the links to your book and all of the books you've recommended in the show notes. We also have a Storyteller bookshop that acts like Amazon, but it benefits a local woman-owned bookstore here in Baltimore. So if you're called to get any of these books, you'll have those links. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Storyteller, where we're elevating women's voices one story at a time. Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please follow the show, leave us a rating and review, and share us with your friends. To learn more about how I can help you overcome your fears and tell your story, please visit my website at deborahkeevan.com.